Let's now turn in our Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we're going to be reading the first 11 verses here in John chapter 14. But our focus is particularly on verse 6, those very well-known words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," and this aspect in particular, "No one comes to the Father except through me." And that's going to be our theme verse for this morning as we look at the intercession of Jesus Christ. But let's read John chapter 14, and that's found on page 1070, the first 11 verses there of John chapter 14. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have not told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." And that's as far as reading. And again, the focus is on verse 6, that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. We're also going to be reading from Belgic Confession Article 26. If you are joining us as a congregation, we are in the midst of a series through the Belgic Confession. So I've kind of been jumping around a little bit so that we might consider this particular article here on Resurrection Sunday morning, entitled "The Intercession of Jesus Christ." And in the back of our red songbooks, this is found at page 864. Now, we're not going to read the entirety of this article. We're just going to be reading a few paragraphs out of it. This is Belgic Confession, Article 26, again, page 864. Article 26, entitled "The Intercession of Christ." The first couple paragraphs there on the left-hand side. "We believe that we have no access to God except through the one and only mediator and intercessor, Jesus Christ the righteous. He therefore was made man, uniting together the divine and human natures, so that we human beings might have access to the divine majesty. Otherwise, we would have no access. But this mediator, whom the Father has appointed between himself and us, ought not to terrify us by his greatness, so that we have to look for another one, according to our fancy. For neither in heaven nor among the creatures on earth is there anyone who loves us more than Jesus Christ does. Although he was in the form of God, he nevertheless emptied himself, taking the form of a man and a servant for us. And he made himself completely like his brothers. Suppose we had to find another intercessor who would love us more than he who gave his life for us, even though we were his enemies. And suppose we had to find one who has prestige and power, who has as much of these as he who is seated at the right hand of the Father, and who has all power in heaven and on earth, and who will be heard more readily than God's own dearly beloved Son." And then we're going to jump down a little ways, and we're going to start on the right-hand side there. You'll see "and further," which is the second full paragraph down there. So continuing to read, and further, to encourage us more to approach him, he says, since we have a high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, who has entered into heaven, we maintain our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to have compassion for our weaknesses, but one who was tempted in all things just as we are, except for sin. Let us go then with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in order to be helped. The same apostle says that we have liberty to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Let us go then in the assurance of faith. Likewise, Christ's priesthood is forever. By this he is able to save completely those who draw near to God through him who always lives to intercede for them. What more do we need? For Christ himself declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Why should we seek another intercessor? And that's as far as reading in the Belgic Confession. We pray for the blessing of God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how do we have access to our God? Access seen in particularly two ways. Access to God in our prayers, in our worship. How do we, in this life, have access to God? How do we know that our prayers are heard, answered, received? That's the first way. And the second way, or the second aspect of this aspect, has to do with our entering into God's presence, either when we die or when Jesus Christ comes back. How do we have access to come into the Father's house, to live in his presence for all eternity? We saw over the last couple weeks that the ceremonies and rituals of the Old Testament do not satisfy God's justice, and yet only by the shedding of blood is there forgiveness. We saw with Jesus Christ on Good Friday that he is that one Passover lamb, that he had his blood shed once for all for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. That curtain that separated us from the presence of God has been torn in two. A new and living way has been paved by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we saw Jesus Christ as the high priest who offered himself, who came willingly, who said, here I am, I have come to do your will, you have prepared a body for me, I offer my body as that one sacrifice, Christ being the Lamb of God who takes away all our sins. So as the high priest, he offered himself as that one sacrifice. Now that particular aspect of Christ's priesthood, the sacrificial aspect, the offering of himself, is completed once for all. We no longer have any other shedding of blood. We no longer have any altar or sacrifices in the New Testament church. Christ did this. He completed it once for all. But there is another aspect to Christ's priestly work that we may not always remember. Yes, that curtain was torn in two, allowing access into the most holy place. We can come and stand before God's presence. But did you know that one of the aspects or one of the works of the priest was not only to offer the sacrifice, to slit the blood, that priest had to catch that blood and carry that blood throughout the temple, throughout the various aspects of the Old Testament ceremonial law there present in the temple. And he had to splash or to throw blood on all of these various aspects. The priest brought that incense, which represents prayer, offering that incense. The priest blessed the people, prayed for the people, announced the Aaronic benediction on the people. So although the sacrifice is finished once for all, that does not mean that Christ's work as priest has concluded. No, he continues to pray for his people. He continues to, as it were, bring his blood to bear so that the blessings that he has purchased might now be poured out on God's people. Now, this aspect of praying for his people and blessing his people is called intercession. And this aspect of Christ's work is what we are focusing on this resurrection morning. So as a priest, Christ was sacrificed, or he offered himself once for all, but he continues to intercede for us, and by his living presence guarantees our access, that we can come into the presence of a holy God. Christ rose on the third day in order to apply the benefits that he had secured. The reason why we might enjoy the benefits of not only justification, but sanctification and future glorification, that we enjoy the blessing of the preservation of the saints, is because Christ rose again. And he ever lives. He is our ever-living interceder. So this resurrection morning, we consider this theme, that Jesus Christ is our living intercessor who provides access to the Father. Jesus Christ is our living intercessor who provides access for sinners to come into the presence of a holy God. Hebrews 4, Jesus Christ is our great high priest. Now, at our first point, then, we consider how Jesus Christ is the only way, the only intercessor. Now, what then is an intercessor? That's not a word that we use very often today. An intercessor is very strongly connected to our word mediation. He makes a request on behalf of another, taking up the cause of another, but more than just mediation, securing blessings for those he is intercessing for. Hebrews 7, we read this a few minutes ago, Jesus Christ lives to intercede for us. The specific aspect of Jesus' intercession is his work of prayer, is his work of pouring out blessings, seeking help for someone else. Intercession, the intercession of Jesus Christ, is a conversation that continues even to this day between the Son and his Father, where Jesus asks the Father for the blessings that have been promised and purchased. Jesus is asking the Father for the blessings that have already been promised and have already been purchased, now to be poured out upon his people. So Christ is our living intercessor, and he is our only intercessor. He is the only one. He is unique in his role, opening the way for us to come into the presence of God, opening the way for us to pray, opening the way for us to come into God's presence today and for eternity. Now, sometimes you might hear this call to prayer. We still here in the United States have this National Day of Prayer where the president invites everybody to pray. But the question we should ask ourselves is, who is the president calling us to pray for or to? And another question should ask us, what authority does the president have to issue the right for us to pray? Can the president, by his authority, make a declaration, all citizens of the United States now have access to pray to the one true God? Can the president do that? He cannot. There is only one person who has the right to give us the access to pray to God. Jesus Christ gives us this access. Jesus Christ not only teaches us how to pray, he enables us to pray by opening the way for us. That barrier that blocked the way for us to come into God's presence has been now removed. In fact, Christians in our prayer find that in Jesus Christ our grounds and our acceptance. We conclude our prayers, and rightly so, this we pray in Jesus' name. Not in my name, not in my strength, not in the authority of someone else, but in Jesus and Jesus alone. Now, you might have heard this in recent years, that it's becoming more and more in vogue. It's becoming very popular today to say something like this: Jesus is the Savior of Christians. Jesus is the way for Christians to go to heaven. Implying that there are other ways to go to heaven, that there are other ways to pray to God, that there are other ways to find peace between God and man. Jesus makes this abundantly clear in our passage that we read from John 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The fact remains, brother and sister in Christ, your prayer will never be received by God unless your prayer is offered on the grounds of Jesus Christ and his work. You will never stand before a holy God without being consumed unless you come into God's presence pleading on the grounds of Jesus Christ. No one comes to the Father. Jesus does not say it's possible or there are a few that can come to the Father. No one. It is a radically exclusive claim. No one comes to the Father except, wonderful, gracious word, except. If Jesus would have stopped there, imagine the horror. No one comes to the Father. Your prayers, they're empty, they're vain. They're empty words. What hope do you have after death? You cannot come to the Father. You cannot be welcomed in God's presence. Wonderful, gracious, that word, accept. Accept through me. There is a way for us to pray. There is a road, a path, a mediator, a intercessor who has secured peace between God and man. Acts chapter 4, there is no other name under heaven that has been given to us by which we can be saved. No other name than the name of Jesus. Salvation is found in no one else. And that is why our world hates Christianity. Why does it seem to be that just media, for one example, seems to pick on Christianity? It's because Christianity has a radical claim that states this truth. Every other religion, every other savior, every other prophet, priest, king, fill in the blank, they are all vain, empty deceivers. There is one man, one Savior, one way for us to come into God's presence. Will the prayers of those who do not know Jesus Christ and you do not have faith in him, will those prayers be heard and answered? Will those who go to their deathbed, trusting in their merits, in their works, thinking, I have lived a pretty decent life, on the scales of life, I've done more good than I've done evil, trusting in their merits, in their works, to bring them into God's presence, to hear those words, well done? No. Christ makes an exclusive claim. There is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. No other name given who purchase our right to pray. There is no other boat that can carry us safely through the flood. No other blood can satisfy the justice and wrath of God. No one can stand in God's presence and say, here I am and the people you have given me, no one save the name Jesus Christ. Outside of Christ, that curtain remains one, remains whole, remains intact. But praise God, Jesus came. He died and he rose. Jesus is uniquely equipped and suited for this work as the God-man to bring peace between God and man. So Christ is the only way, the only one who enables us, who gives us the right of access as sinners to pray to a holy God. Jesus Christ is unique in that he alone secures peace so that when you die or when Jesus Christ returns, you need not be filled with fear, but with hope and peace. So Jesus is unique. He's unique in his communion with the Father. He says this in John 14, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. He's unique in his access to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is unique in his approval by the Father. Jesus heard these words concerning his work. The Father said this, this is my Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. That's what the Father says about this intercessor. So Jesus Christ is the only one sent from the Father by which we might be saved, the only one who provides access to the Father. So we see that Christ is unique, but we also see that Christ is our loving way. Not only the unique way, but our loving way. Although we could imagine a mediator being gruff or harsh, who treats those whom he is representing in a condescending way, with a heavy hand, that is not the mediator that we find in Scripture. In fact, the image, the picture that we find in Scripture concerning Jesus Christ is that he is compassionate, kind, and merciful. Jesus says this about himself in Matthew 11. The heart of Jesus is put on display. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I am gentle and lowly in heart. Jesus Christ is not only our intercessor because of his sufficiency, because of his uniqueness. He is also an intercessor who has such kindness and compassion in his heart. John chapter 6, those who call upon me, who come to me, I will never turn away. In fact, as Hebrews 5 puts it, because Jesus was tempted like we are, having lived a life of trial and tribulation, tempted by the devil himself, bearing our flesh, he is uniquely equipped, uniquely suited to be our compassionate and merciful high priest, meaning that he deals gently with us, because he also offered his prayer and supplication through his suffering. You see, Jesus Christ is compassionate in how he prays. He prays for us with understanding. He knows your need. One of the trials that I often have as a pastor is I'm called to pray for people and I simply don't know what they need. I don't know what God's will is for them. I don't know if it's God's will for them to be healed and restored or for this to be the end of their earthly journey. I don't know what kind of struggles live in the heart of all the people within this church. But Jesus does, and he's praying for you according to his knowledge, according to his compassion, according to his mercy. He embraces his sheep with loving arms. Jesus knows what we need, and he knows how to pray for us according to our needs. Our mediator is incredibly approachable. He is the loving way. Our article in the Belgic Confession puts it this way: where else could we find such a tender and compassionate Savior? If we were to search the heavens or the earth or the seas below, where could we find someone who loves us like this? Jesus Christ, our intercessor, willing to be humbled, to take on our flesh, to be made a servant, lowly, willing to die for us while we were yet enemies. Could a more moving and compassionate picture be painted than Jesus Christ, the merciful and compassionate high priest presented in Hebrews? One who knows our weakness. 1 John 2 speaking to the Father in our defense, our defender, our redeemer, and our friend. Jesus Christ knows what we have gone through, knows our struggles, knows our temptation, and he prays for us in our struggles, knowing those struggles because he too was tempted. Therefore, we can approach the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that Jesus is praying for us. We can pray with boldness, knowing that what we need, Jesus is praying for. Hebrews 10, verse 19, we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, the new and living way. Let us draw near in full assurance of faith. Let us hold fast without wavering, because he who promised is faithful. Remember the comfort that Jesus Christ gave to Peter. This is in Luke chapter 22. Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, you're going to deny me. Satan has asked for you, Peter. Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. But Peter, take heart," Jesus says. "Take heart, Peter, because I have prayed for you." The comfort that Peter received, the comfort that all of God's people can receive in whatever trials, tribulations, temptations, hardships that we endure, the comfort that we have is we have an intercessor at the Father's right hand who is praying for you, and that intercessor is not having his arm twisted. "Oh, I don't really want to pray for these people anymore. They're so stubborn. They're so rebellious." No, Jesus is praying for us with a heart that is tender, compassionate, full of mercy, the heart of a loving, good shepherd. That's good news. His love means that he will never leave you, never forsake you, and never stop praying for you. Well, now that we've considered Christ in his uniqueness and also unique in his love, his mercy for us, in our final point then, we see how Christ is presented as the living intercessor. And this is the good news that we focus particularly on today because it is Resurrection Sunday. Our mediator not only pointed the way, not only teaches us how to pray, not only goes before us, but he goes with us. Our mediator not only opens the way for us to pray, opens the way for us to come into God's presence, he carries us and makes sure that we arrive at our destination. Although maps are helpful, if you want to make sure that a person arrives from point A to point B, the only way you can guarantee that is if you bring them there yourself. I'm sure everybody here can tell us stories of how their GPS or their phone has told them to go the wrong way. And no one can guarantee that your car is not going to get a flat tire or blown transmission between point A and point B. The only way to guarantee that you arrive is if someone brings you. Someone who knows the way, and someone who is powerful enough to carry you. And that's the good news that we have. Jesus Christ not only points us in the right direction, being raised, he makes sure that we arrive. He carries us. He lives to make intercession for his people. You see, in his prayer, Jesus is not only asking for things that he wants, he is praying according to the will of his Father, and we know that when Jesus prays according to the will of the Father, he will have what he prays for. As I said before, Jesus is praying even now, this very moment, is praying for his people. He's praying for his church. And he's praying according to the promises of the Father, but he's also praying on the grounds of his work. And because he's praying according to the promise and according to what he has purchased. We know that we will receive what he is praying for. So the question is, what is Jesus praying for? What is the high priestly prayer that Jesus Christ is uttering to this day? Well, if you want to read the high priestly prayer of Jesus, read John 17. John 17 is a unique window in the prayer of Jesus Christ. So what did Jesus pray for in John 17? What aspects or what promises, what was his desire for the church in John 17? John 17 gives us a beautiful window, a beautiful picture, a summary of what the high priest Jesus Christ is still praying this day. So what is Jesus praying for his church? Jesus Christ prays, John 17, do not take my people out of this world. Do not take the church out of the world, but keep her safe in the world. Keep my bride, your children, safe. Jesus prays for the unity of the church. Make them one as we are one. He prays for the protection of the church. He prays that God's people would be filled with joy, with love, that we would be sanctified, that we would be growing in holiness and obedience until we join him, until we join Jesus in glory. That is the prayer that Jesus is praying this day. He is praying for his church, that his church would be protected. He's praying for his people, that they would grow in love and joy and holiness and obedience and unity with each other and unity with our God. That's what he is praying for. And you know, when Jesus prays for it, he gets what he prays for. Because he's praying according to the will of his Father. So unity, peace, joy, sanctification, preservation or perseverance, these are the things that Jesus is praying for as he continues to pray even this day as our living high priest. Hebrews 7:25, he saves to the uttermost. He saves completely, wholly. Now the word uttermost not only means a completion, but it also means a fullness in number. Not one of his little lambs will be lost. Not one of those he died for can be lost. Because Jesus is praying and he will save to the uttermost, complete in number and complete in time. How do I know this? Because he ever lives. He's our ever-living intercessor. John 6, not one that the Father has given to me will be lost. So Jesus prays according to his Father's will. Thus, he secures what he asks for because his own blood, his own work, is the yes and the amen to all of the Father's promises. In the line of Melchizedek, Jesus Christ has no successor, no replacement. And his work as priest, interceding, will not end. To conclude, as we gather together on this Resurrection Sunday morning, let our hearts be stirred. May we be filled with joy and confidence as we remember the work of our living intercessor. He is unique. He's compassionate, and he's living, always. If you had to pick someone to pray for you, wouldn't you choose someone who prays according to knowledge? Isn't it comforting to know when someone is praying for you that they've walked that same road? They know your needs because they've gone there as well. Wouldn't you want someone to pray for you who understands you? Someone who loves you, someone who has embraced you, someone who is living, someone who has access to the Father? Why would we go to another? Why would we look elsewhere when this intercessor has been sent to us by our Heavenly Father? So the sufficiency of Christ, His continued presence, this is where we find our hope and our comfort this resurrection day. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He reigns as King. He speaks as prophet. And He intercedes as priest. There are not many roads. There is only one road. There are not many ways. There is only one way. There is not many intercessors. There is only one. No one else can do what He did and what He is doing. He is the way. So come to the Father through Him. In your prayers, trusting in Christ. And at the end of your earthly journey, know that it is only in Christ that you can be brought into the Father's presence. Trust in Him, rejoice in His life that He rose, and look to His work and His intercession for your comfort and joy. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word, which points to Christ in His uniqueness, in His compassion, but also in the fact that He is living. And the great comfort that we have that He ever lives to intercede for us, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through Him. May our hearts trust in Him alone, looking to His work alone, and may we be filled with joy and confidence as we trust in Christ, our living intercessor. In His name we pray. Amen.